Good morning, everybody. My name is Evandro. Thanks for staying here for the last one in the morning. I'll be talking about arsenic removal from the arsenic hyperaccumulator, Pteris zitata biomass deposition through methane production. I'm from the University of Florida, as also from the Soil and Water Science Department. First, I'll give you a brief introduction, my objectives, experiment setup, results, and then I will conclude. Well, first of all, as you might know, arsenic is the first hazardous substance here listed in the U.S. And the concentration, the average concentration in soil is around 7.2 milligrams per kilo. And under aerobic condition, arsenate tends to predominate in soil. However, you can still find some arsenite or arsenic 3 in soil, especially in plants or spheres. However, under anaerobic condition, arsenite tend to predominate, and also the human activities such as mining, pesticide application, has been increasing arsenic concentration in soil, water, and groundwater as well. Well, and in the earliest 2000, Dr. Ma group, my advisor, they found out that this fern can hyperaccumulate arsenic. Actually, there was the first plant to be reported as an arsenic hyperaccumulator, and this plant can accumulate more than 1,000 ppm in the fronts. And PV life cycle, you have the spores, then you germinate the spores and have the gametophyte, the young sporophyte, then mature sporophyte. From the gametophyte to the mature sporophyte, you have like 6 months to get a full-grown plant. But to get gametophyte, 2 months, you can start working with it. And as though PV can accumulate up to 20 milligrams per liter of arsenic and accumulate in the fronts up to 2.3% of their weight as arsenic. It's a lot. And but PV not only accumulates, it also can solubilize in insoluble forms of arsenic as well as phosphorus from soil, those that was bind with the iron and aluminum oxides. And PV can use as a phosphorus source the phosphate rock. So actually it grows better in this condition. However, after PV accumulating, removing the arsenic from soil, you still have to deal with the biomass because your problem is not completely solved. You just transfer from another source to another. And some reports show that up to 6% of the arsenic in dry mass after the plant dies is water soluble. So just the rain can wash that out back to the soil. So you have another source of contamination there. And also, the biomass production of PV can be up to one ton of dry weight per year per hectare. And the highest concentration we have seen now is 23,000 ppm in the front, incredibly high. So based on the percentage that water soluble, we have a 14 kilos of arsenic per year per hectare as potential to be leached out to soil, or if you want to fill, just go to the leachate. So what to do with the biomass? So right now, the most used forms are either incineration or ashing. But these two methods, you can produce a very toxic gas, the arsenic gas. So it's not a good option. Or just send to landfills, but also in landfills, since the arsenic will be released, you can have reduction to arsenite, that's more toxic than arsenite. And also some organic forms can be produced, such as trimethyl arsine, that's a volatile gas, also not as toxic as arsenic, but also has some toxicity out in release to the air. So we need to find out an alternative method, a green one. So as hypothesis, we hypothesize that arsenic in PV is basically accumulated as arsenite in the vacuoles. And when the plant dies, the arsenite is reduced back to arsenate, and the improper disposal can be a secondary contamination. So we try to find an optimum procedure to remove the arsenic from the PV biomass before the disposal, and also try to recover this arsenic as a precipitating as magnesium arsenate. So first, we tested how much is really water soluble from our biomass, and also the difference between shaking and just soaking the biomass in water. And then we test some elutants like hydrochloric acid, phosphoric acid, sodium hydroxide, and ethanol. After testing, we found out ethanol was the best extractant or elutant. And then we tested different aspects like time, particle sizes, solid liquid ratio, and pH. And then we did our precipitation that we knew that, I mean, we tested, and 99% of the arsenic in solution was arsenic. And then knowing that, we test different salts, magnesium salts, different ratios of arsenic and magnesium and pH to form the magnesium arsenate precipitate. So here is just a characterization of our biomass. Our biomass is from one experiment that we have going to clean up a soil. So in this particular biomass, the arsenic concentration was around 3,000 ppm. And here is the water-soluble arsenic. So the first you can see there is no difference between shaking, just soaking the arsenic in the biomass in solution. The recovery is also the same, or the least. And up to 16 hours of extraction, we recovered a lot. In the solution was around 10% of the arsenic. But when we went to 20 hours, then we got 60%. So that was the highest. So even though we increased up to 24 hours, it was the same. So the main difference in here is that up to the 16 hour, the pH was 6.1 in solution. But at 20 hours, the pH was 6.8. So, and 6.8 is closer to the second pKa of arsenate. So you have a more negative arsenic form, so that increase the repulsion from the biomass. And also at this time, you also have some organic compounds to be denatured, so releasing more arsenic into the solution. Here is the extractant we tested. Again, the hydrochloric acid and the phosphoric acid, they were very good removing arsenic. They remove around 80%, but ethanol removed in the first extraction 14%. So you might be thinking, how is ethanol the best extractant? But when we analyzed how much was remaining in the biomass, ethanol was the least one. So we have a gap around 70%, right? Well, where is this arsenic? But then we start notice that in the bottom of our vials, some precipitate is starting forming. And then we knew that ethanol also is a chlorophyll extracted, and chlorophyll means magnesium. So, and the pH was already higher than 7 at that point with the ethanol. So the precipitation is already started. So we are losing it slowly because it was more like colloidal precipitate at this time. So we are losing the arsenic in there. Not losing, the arsenic was in there. So that's why we choose, because ethanol not only would extract more arsenic from the biomass, as well would extract the magnesium and leaving close to the condition to form the precipitate. So we have the arsenic in solution, then the magnesium from the chlorophyll, and then it starts to precipitate. Then we try to optimize the ethanol extraction. So now the time, 2 hours, was enough to remove close to 9% of the arsenic, and the particle size, the smaller the particle size, more you have released from there. However, this we use the whole front, including the stem. If you just using the pinna of the front, then you can use larger particle size because the stem is the hardest to remove the arsenic. And then the solid liquid ratio 1 to 50, and pH must be lower than 7. Otherwise, you can start precipitating the arsenic, so then not recovering it. Doing this, we remove around 90% of the arsenic from the biomass. Then we test the precipitation. So we test different salts. And even though magnesium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide has great potential for the salts to already increase the pH, but they have very low solubility. So then we have to use a much higher concentration of those salts to precipitate the arsenic. Then we choose the magnesium chloride. It's cheaper, higher solubility, and doesn't change much the pH after adding it. It decreased a little bit, but not much. So that's why we choose magnesium chloride. And then the ratio of arsenic and magnesium. In this particular extraction, the optimal ratio was 1 to 400. So if you have just a clear solution, 1 to 4 would be enough. But since we have much more things going on in there, also has phosphorus, that also will kind of formate some precipitate or a salt of magnesium, we have to add more magnesium in solution. And the pH for us, the grade was 9.5. So just a little summary here, and after all this, we decreased the arsenic concentration in solution from 28 ppm to 0.4 ppm, almost closer to the drinking water standard, 10 ppb, okay, but if you can do a second step if required, but that's pretty much safe, I can tell. And then we did a further experiment. We did an anaerobic digestion, and for this we have two treatments, one of no arsenic and one of arsenic, and also we pre-treated one with ethanol, so we have four actually. And you can see here that those top lines here are both no treated biomass, and you can see there's a higher methane production here. That's also what's expected, because the ethanol not only removes arsenic but also removes some easy degradable organic compounds, so then decreasing the methane production. And also here, if you notice on day 3 and 4 is when those lines start to split. And that is, at this point is where the arsenate is reduced to arsenite. So then the bacteria, the microbes, has to deal with more toxic form of arsenic. And here is a characterization at the end of 35 days. And after 35 days, 81% of the carbon in the biomass was reduced. And with combining the extraction with ethanol and the anaerobic digestion, we were able to remove around 99% arsenic from the biomass. So we have, we still have the arsenic to do, but it can be sent to landfills, but a much smaller quantity. Or since there's magnesium arsenate, we can just reuse that. Some like the companies in the CCA that produce CCA wood can just use that as the base for the arsenic. And magnesium chloride was very efficient in removing arsenic from solution. And you can even, using this method, you can even recover the remaining magnesium in solution just by increasing the pH to close to 11. Then it will precipitate as magnesium hydroxide. You can later just dissolve in acid to reuse the magnesium. So that doing that, we have like a new method where just for the extraction you can remove around 19% of the arsenic. So if you want to add the second step, you can remove 99%. And I'm glad to announce that the first part was accepted to be published in Chemosphere last Sunday. So that's great news for me. Well, thanks so much.
We have time for questions.
So you have to do 1 to 400, right?
Yeah.
So you said there was organic. Do you guys have an idea, like, what really is impacting, like, organic, what type of organic, or what's the interaction that's causing you to have such a high demand of magnesium?
Well, phosphorus would be the main one.
How much phosphorus do you really have? I mean, it's a plant extraction, you probably have plenty, but in terms of quantification, like the ratio,
it's around 3,000 to 4,000, yeah. It accumulates a lot, yeah.
So it's the phosphorus,
that's the main, yes.
Okay.
water solubility of magnesium arsenate is pretty soluble?
A high pH is insoluble, but if you your decrease the pH lower than 7, then it's right away soluble.
The magnesium arsenate is?
Yes.
So there could be a problem with landfilling at the end, but using it as a raw material for something else?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.